This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Noel. It's 8:48 in the morning. In about 15 minutes, we've got the KLCI opening, as well as we'll look at headlines coming out of corporate Malaysia and globally. For now, though, we're gazing inward on the new Prime Minister and the expectations that he shoulders. Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob was sworn in on Saturday as Malaysia's 9th Prime Minister after he managed to secure the support of 114 MPs and with the acquiescence of the Yang di-Pertuan Agong.
So this is the third Prime Minister in about 3 years plus. So this marks the return of Barisan Nasional and UMNO to the top post, although it is unknown at this point if Sabri, how he would invite opposition leaders to get involved. But what we understand so far, I think Lim Guan Eng has been invited to join the National Recovery Council or Committee, as well as the COVID-19 Council.
I think another thing to look at is what UMNO's relationship with Bersatu will be like. Bersatu has 50 MPs and it's the largest partner in Sabri's government. This remains a question mark. You know, UMNO and Bersatu leaders continue to make conflicting statements about whether or not the new administration is Perikatan National Government or not. I mean, they're still wrangling things internally, so I think that coalition is quite fractious still. So we are turning to Ben Sufian for some insight into what the new government may look like. He is the program director at the Merdeka Center. Good morning, Ben. Thanks for speaking to us. What kind of prime minister can we expect Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob to be? Are there any clues that you gathered from his address to the nation yesterday?
Well, I think Ismail Sabri realizes that he is inheriting or coming into a seat that is marked by dissension and also fractiousness within his own party as well as that of his coalition partners. At the same time, I think he's acutely aware that although he has secured 114 declarations of support, that is by no means super solid, in the sense that there is still going to be subject to horse trading and wrangling between the coalition partners. And also, as time passes, there's still room for dissent and also factionalism to break out again, because it only takes four MPs to break away and then the government collapses all over again. And so I think he will tread these things carefully. He probably will try to try to meet some of the expectations of the coalition partners. At the same time, he's trying to assuage the public that he has a plan and that he will be able to work with the opposition, because I think he's coming into a space that's very contested and the public at large is very dissatisfied with the conduct of government so far with respect to the economy and also the handling of COVID-19.
Ben, how much of his own man do you think Ismail Sabri will be? And do you think he will take a page out of the Muhyiddin Yassin playbook and not have a DPM for at least the first few months?
I'm not sure whether he can afford to do that, partly because I think there is expectation on the principal coalition partner Bersatu to supply a deputy prime minister and hence, cement their position in the coalition as an important partner to UMNO. At the same time, I think in the lead-up to the selection of Ismail Sabri as Prime Minister, the key members of Bersatu played a pivotal role in persuading Muhyiddin Yassin to stand down. So I think there's an expectation of reward to be given out for the roles that people have played in the power play. Secondly, I think in terms of the overall policies, I think it's pretty much cut and dry in the sense that the government has to see through the pandemic and at the same time come up with spending plan and also a fiscal plan in order to support businesses and households that have been severely affected by the prolonged lockdowns that we have been under in Malaysia.
Well, speaking about political fragility, do you expect things will go down south for Ismail Sabri when it comes to the vote of confidence in Parliament when it takes place?
I think not in the short term, in the sense that he has just secured his 114, and I think it depends on how he constructs or builds his cabinet. I think he will have to be generous to coalition partners in order to secure their support and give them important roles in steering the administration in the way forward. At the same time, I think in the short term, I think people have been quite tired with the politicking that has taken place, and I think it's fairly likely that he might be able to pull through the vote of confidence. But I think as we go further into the future, perhaps votes for other things, raising the debt ceiling, the budget 2022, perhaps other bills that need to be tabled, I think that becomes more and more subject to tussles between coalition partners as well as pressures from the opposition. And that, I think, can put his leadership to the test.
Ben, I want to come back to the discussion of Deputy Prime Minister. And you've said earlier that you expect it to be a Bersatu man. Who are the candidates that you see in the front run, running in front?
Well, I think, I mean, in terms of the leading people from Bersatu, you know, if we go by seniority, then it has to be Faizal Azumu, the former Chief Minister of Perak, because he is the Deputy President of the party. However, in the general scheme of things, it does appear that he is somewhat disadvantaged by most senior leaders who have played an important role in the administration as well as in the recent power struggle. And that could include individuals like Hamza Zainuddin, who was previously the Home Affairs Minister, and as well as Azmin Ali. And Azmin Ali, I think, has a block of MPs that will be pivotal to ensure that the Perikatan government remains in power. So I think there's a need to balance between the reward for people who played a role as well as people who can bring support to shore up the coalition.
I think you're right in saying that he's got to assuage his supporters, Ben. But in terms of ability to lead this country out of the worst crisis in over 60 years, how would you gauge that ability?
Well, I mean, he has in the past been given portfolios that are somewhat domestic related. He was domestic affairs, domestic consumer minister. He was defense minister. I think by and large, I think he has not created controversies in the post that he's held, you know, aside from that digital wall Mara thing. So he has pretty much been a relatively safe pair of hands, if somewhat unexciting in the past. So I think there's still a lot that could be done in terms of improving, strengthening his credentials, and he is in some ways, I think, almost someone that can, you know, chart new directions for the country. So in terms of whether he's going to be his own man or not, I think given how he stepped into the position, I think he will have to rely on support from his own party. And looking at how things have developed over the last couple of years, you know, UMNO leaders, notably former Prime Minister Najib Razak, has been a vocal critic of the previous government. And I think he will have a thing or two to say in terms of policy, particularly how the economy is being run and, finding a way out of the economic crisis that the pandemic has given us.
Now that Sabri is Prime Minister, what does this say about Dato' Sri Zahid Hamidi's position within UMNO? Or do you expect Sabri really as just a temporary solution to the next GE?
I'm not sure. You know, Dato' Sri Zahid is facing legal charges, and we have yet to see the direction of those court cases. So his position as party president for the time being remains. At the same time, the party is supposed to have gone through a party elections process. That was due at the end of June, and the party wanted to postpone it for 18 months, which brings it to the end of 2022. Now that Ismail Sabri is the new Prime Minister, I think that gives him considerable leverage and influence to, you know, chart the course of the party. So I suspect at some point, you know, Zahid will have to make way, and someone like Ismail Sabri will probably step into the presidency position, unless, you know, along the way, he fumbles and is challenged by other leaders in the party.
Well, very quickly, this thing about fragile political arrangement, clearly it's not sustainable, right? Just a few MPs and the Prime Minister can change. Do you expect this may eventually pressure DAP, the party with the biggest seats, to break up in terms of support? So some MPs may actually think they should work with Perikatan and be pragmatic rather than take a very hardline opposition stance.
I don't think so. I think, you know, the extent to which parties in the opposition, and I think Ismail Sabri was right in trying to offer an olive branch and trying to inviting them to join the National Recovery Council. And I think the offer was open to all, but DAP was the first to accept. I think it's the right thing to do to extend an olive branch so that there is less rancor in our politics and, you know, all the different minds are working together on different parts of solving the problem. So I think that's a good thing. But I think for the DAP, I think some members of parliament would be keen to join such a council, in part because it gives them access to bureaucrats and access to information that allows them to, I think, speak more credibly and be seen as a constructive force in Malaysian politics in the eyes of the public. But I think to go to the extent that they will break away and leave the party and join this Perikatan National Coalition is very unlikely, in part because the nature of the seats that they are in, and many of the DAP MPs are fairly secure, you know, in terms of the majorities that they've enjoyed in the last election, and will likely continue to enjoy similarly large electoral majorities in the future election. So I think for them, it's more about building credibility and building bridges to the public to show that they are a positive force, not just criticizing, but being part of the solution.
Ben, the conventional wisdom is that this political uncertainty can only be settled through a general election. And GE15 was expected to happen sooner rather than later, prior to Ismail Sabri's appointment. What is your sense of when GE15 will take place? Are we going to wait until 2023 before it happens, or will it happen sooner?
Well, I can only speculate here. My view is that given, you know, how he's come into the position and the depth of the problems that he has inherited, I think Ismail Sabri will want more time in order to solve some of the problems and also consolidate his position. You know, the issues on the table, that is, you know, the relationship between UMNO and Bersatu remains unresolved. The party had in March decided not to have cooperation with Bersatu or anything to do with Perikatan Nasional once elections are called. I think Ismail Sabri was one of those individuals that wanted to see UMNO find a way to collaborate with his current coalition partners so that they have a better chance of winning future elections. So now I think that's going to take a bit more time to persuade party members and also to change the direction of the party. So it also means negotiating with Bersatu to ask them to not to ask for so much, you know, likewise with PAS as well. So I think, you know, he may want to have more time pass in order to solve the pandemic and economic problems so that, you know, some kind of feel-good return to the public atmosphere, and then as well as resolve the political issues that continue to affect the relationships in the coalition. So I think he will be keen to take it to 2022, 2023. But I think circumstances and the situation, if let's say the coalition, you know, continues to be unstable, then a sooner election is more likely than not, and could happen within 6 months or perhaps even, you know, 9 months, that is, you know, at the same time when the Sarawak state elections are going to be held next year.
Ben, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your insights. That was Ben Sufian, Program Director at the Merdeka Center, weighing in on what the new political landscape is like with our new Prime Minister.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.